Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists, to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And in this episode, we're welcoming Courtney Arnold, Community Development Director at Filene Research Institute. Welcome, Courtney.
Hi, thanks. I'm so excited to be here. I love being a guest on a podcast. So this is always fun.
Awesome. And you did your hair, and it's an audio
podcast. I did my hair, and I did the dishes.
And you did the dishes, and that is so good.
Yes. That energy is going to come through so clearly on the audio version. So
perfect. Yes, your space sounds so zen right now.
Good. It should. That really makes me happy.
Well, we're excited to have you here. You have been on our list of people to reach out to for a while.
Long time.
Because we love you. So welcome, finally. So glad that we got to connect. Let's start by having you tell our listeners what the Filene Research Institute is, what do there. Just give us that background to get us ready to go.
Sure. So Filene Research Institute is a nonprofit research think tank. That is like the really quick, highest level view, if you could think about it. But we break that into a few different areas in which we really work to support credit unions. One of those is research. So we have centers where we employ some really terrific fellows that are the experts in the related fields, like diversity, equity, inclusion, leadership and governance, credit union of the future. Those are just a few. But we also really focus on taking that research and bringing it to life. So how are we able to do that? Through testing new products, by connecting with different tech companies, putting new technology into the hands of credit unions to allow their members to actually play with new things, and then get feedback from those members to determine, is this something that's going to be feasible and viable for our credit unions? And then we also have our communities, which are incredibly rich with humans all the way from, you know, frontline staff all the way up to the CEO executive suite. And then last, you know, we do commission research. So customized, focused, deep dives into areas that your credit union might think is really important, whatever that might be, related to the things that we do and those centers that I mentioned. And we also do innovation training. So a lot of cool stuff. Might get some surveys from us, but we really, you know, our goal ultimately is to serve credit unions and ensure that they can continue to thrive into the future. I believe you also asked what I do at Filene. So
yes.
I feel like I have the best job at Filene because I get to work with all kinds of humans. Through the Cooperative Trust. So that is our emerging leader community. We work with about 300 young people, or I would say new to leadership people every year, which is super exciting. We do that through our CRASH programming. And then I also have the exciting role of working in our advisory services, where I work with credit unions to help teach them our innovation method. So some of those things that I spoke about where we're testing new products, I get to go to different credit unions and different organizations and help teach them problem-solving methodology so that way they can bring some more innovative ideas to their organizations.
That does sound like a great job.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. You've got a couple things going on as part of that job.
Only a couple. Right.
So Sue and I are both familiar with the CRASH program, but for listeners that maybe aren't, tell us about the CRASH program.
Yeah, so the CRASH program started actually, it is our 15th birthday this year.
What?
I know.
My goodness.
Side note, Ben was a mentor for CRASH the GAC in 2022.
2020.
Oh my God.
It was like a month before the world fell apart.
Right. Well, that's probably why I got the year wrong, because that whole year is probably like blanked from my memory.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway. Same.
So Ben was a mentor in 2020, but we're celebrating our 15th anniversary. So the Cooperative Trust started out of really just noticing at one of the largest conferences in the nation that there was lack of diversity, specifically with young voices, men, women, people of color, just really not being at the table. And so this was in 2009, 2010, we came back and we actually crashed. I was not part of that inaugural crash, but we actually crashed the governmental affairs conference. And then a year later, crash sort of became more of a thing where we were not necessarily uninvited and showing up, we were invited, but still being incredibly purposeful. And so we really honor that tradition. We work with different organizations to bring emerging talent to their conferences, to their events. We provide really great programming that's geared toward whatever that event is. So if it's a payments event, it's really geared toward payments and innovation. If it's GAC, for instance, it's really geared toward leadership and advocacy. But really the purpose is to connect these young folks, these new leaders, to each other, as well as to some of the thought leaders in the space. It's really powerful. It's wild. The people got tattoos this year. It was crazy.
For real?
Yes. That's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I was not one of them, but
yeah. That's really cool. And having been a part of Crash the GAC, I can totally understand why people would. So as surprised as I might be, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
And I'm glad that you spent a little extra time talking about the Crash program, because my next question for you is to kind of lead us down the road about your journey working for Filene and how you got there. And I luckily have gotten to know you well over the years that I know that your Crash experience at least had something to do with it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Oh gosh, yes. I love this story. I don't get to tell it as often anymore, and maybe I should rethink that. I was working in a contact center in a credit union in Southern California, which I love that credit union, still a member. And I was nominated within my organization to interview to see if I could potentially apply to crash this event that I had never heard of before. So there was all these like layers and things that were really weird and things that I had no idea what they were talking about. But you know, getting additional details, basically what I got from this email is, hey, we're going to interview you. We may choose you to potentially go to this event in Washington, DC that's related to advocacy. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is exciting, because back when I was like 13, 12, you know, eighth grade, I wanted to be the president of the United States. That has since changed. But what was really exciting is I saw this as an opportunity to actually go to Washington, D.C. And be able to participate in like the democratic process. And so for me, I was really, really excited by that. So I interviewed with the credit union, and shockingly to me, they chose me to apply. So I go ahead, and on the very last day that the application is due, and I say this very specifically, because if there's anyone listening that has applied to Crash, I also waited until the very last day of my application. This was before COVID. So I actually showed up to the office with a raging fever and a runny nose. I was awfully sick. Like we used to do that back in the day. And I recorded my video. It was very stuffy. Anywho, I will just kind of flash forward, because obviously they chose me. But what was really, I think, special, a few things that I took away from this. One, I had been working at the credit union at that point for almost 6.5 years. So I wasn't totally a novice. I had been in the financial services space prior to that as well. But I was still a young person. So that was one thing. The second thing that was really interesting is my credit union put a lot of time and effort into development and training. But what was unknown to me when I got to the GAC was like credit union service organizations, like Exclamation, for example. Like, what is that? Like, I didn't even know what that was. And so when I walked into the expo hall, when I like the list of speakers coming in, not even like people trying to sell you stuff, but like CUNA, now America's Credit Unions at the time, like the foundation, like all of these things were just new concepts and ideas. And so my world was just sort of like blown open with possibility. And I had always wanted to like travel and like do something like on a bigger scale. And so when I came back after I crashed, one, I told my ex-husband that I think we had to move to Wisconsin. I am from Southern California. And then I also told my boss that I really think that I want my next job to be something where I go places, talk to people, have whiteboard for walls, and just kind of like help people think of ideas. And remind you, like I worked in a contact center and he looked at me, he was like, Courtney, I can't do that. And I'm like, I know. But that's like, if you ask me what I want to do, that's what I want to do. And so then it just became really a conversation of like, how do I want to develop myself to get into a position where that's possible, while still being a good team member so I could still get opportunities. Anyway, so that's really how I got my start at Filene. It was through having really honest, transparent conversations, creating different opportunities along the way that I can talk a little bit about, that really teed me up for the job at Filene. And then I applied for like two roles at Filene before they hired me. And the second time around, they wouldn't have known all the things that I had been working on either. But I sent them an email, the hiring manager. And I was like, hey, just so you know, like, these are the things that I did since we last met. And it had been like 3 months. Like, how would they know any of that stuff, you know? And that's really what sold me getting the job. Like, she straight up told me, she was like, I got that email. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So sometimes you really do have to slide into the DM, you know?
Right.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Although this case, it was email. It was not.
Right. I love all of that. I mean, both like the significance of a good transparent conversation, which can be super uncomfortable, you know, like telling your boss or supervisor or whatever, like, hey, the kind of job I want is probably one that isn't here, you know. And I think like a leader that cares about their people, you know, while it's maybe not always awesome to hear stuff like that, if you care about your people and you want them to be the best versions of themselves and be happy and beyond doing whatever makes them happiest, like, you want to know that stuff, you know? Yeah. So I think that's great. Kudos to you. Kudos to them for being open to it. And then, the whole like kind of like self-assignment to do some extra work between one interview and the next to put yourself in a position to succeed. I mean, that doesn't get enough credit, because I think it can be maybe looked at as a time waste. Like, why would I do that? I don't even know if it's going to help. And maybe even I could certainly see people perceiving it as like too aggressive or something.
Oh, but, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've at points thought it was too aggressive. Like, I ask people, I'm like, is this okay? Can I do this?
Can I do this? Yeah.
my best friend's mom happens to be a recruiter. And I was like, hey, is this allowed? And she's like, oh my gosh, people don't do that. You should do it. And I'm like, okay, sweet. I had her check the email for typos because I'm notoriously terrible with that. And I let it rip. And but it was scary. It wasn't, definitely, like, my palms were sweaty for sure.
So how long have you been at Filene now?
6.5 years. So 7 years in September.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, before Sue dives in, because I know she's got a question burning, tell us a little bit about your journey at Filene. What role did you come into, and where are you now? And
sure. Maybe
you tease us with what happened along the way.
Oh my gosh. So I have had such an interesting journey at Filene, and it has genuinely shaped me into the leader that I am. I think the experiences that I'm able to create, and it's really just been through the reach and the connection of the people that I've been able to meet. So when I came to start working at Filene, I was working in what they called impact. And so that's where we would go out, we would do, you know, member journey work, we would do innovation programming, advisory speaking, services, those kinds of things. So I was really going out supporting credit unions, doing a lot of member journey work. So focusing on, you know, debit and fraud processes, member onboarding processes, the mortgage process, indirect lending, like all those things that I could really touch very directly because I work with members in a contact center on all of those things. So that was super exciting. Doing a lot of innovation programming, similar to what I'm doing currently. And, you know, filing shifted and things moved. And so then I had the incredible and exciting honor of leading Filene's I3 community, which is where I met Ben. So I did that for a little while. I helped support our events, which was a whole brand new, my gosh, event planning. All you event planners out there.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Lots of love. Yeah.
That my body was not made for that kind of stress. Anyway, so did some event planning. That was super fun. And then the opportunity came available to lead the cooperative trust. And I, you know, I sort of jumped on it. It was something that I really always wanted to do. But that, again, that was one of those situations where it wasn't necessarily at the role where I was. So I had to create it, but I was given the runway to level up that position, which was really exciting. And now I am also in a position where I get to do that. I've been doing the Cooperative Trust now since 2019. And it still fills my cup. And I'm also starting to see where, you know, it's important to, as a leader, it's really important to recognize, like, when is it time for me to step away? And like, so often we hear young people, like I hear this often is like, well, there's all these leaders in the C-suite and they're all in these executive positions and they're not going anywhere. And they're not necessarily wrong. Like, why would people leave a job, especially if they like it and they're good at it? I get that. And sometimes like there are opportunities where leaders can say, oh, you know what? It is time for me to let some new blood come in here. And so, you know, those are some things that I often think about with the Cooperative Trust, especially. But I also do love getting to work with credit unions, doing that innovation. That innovation work is also super, super exciting. So that's what I'm doing now. A little bit of the same, but different.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you and I met when I was in the WILD program, which is the Wisconsin Innovation Local Development. And yes, I did look it up and write it down so I would say all of the words right. And, you know, you mentioned crashing the GAC and some of these other programs. And I think really for me, WILD is a great example of how people working in the credit union movement collaborate to make really remarkable things. And I think in a way that maybe people in other industries would find surprising, that people, we really, the cooperation and collaboration is something that I have really valued, you know, in my credit union career. So I am curious, you talked about doing these innovation programs. That's certainly one, because that's how I met you, that you were involved in. So what are things that you have seen come out of those innovation programs that really blew your mind? What are some examples?
So it's funny that you asked that question. There's a few things that have come out that I'm like, wow, that's really awesome. Oftentimes though, what I find that I love the most is not necessarily the product or the solution, but it's the how people work through problems that I love to see. Because it's really hard and it's really frustrating for I gathered every innovation group that I have participated in, but 166 people.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's crazy. I would say like 95% of them struggle with solving problems or have, like when they come to the problem, like even when you have training in innovation and problem solving, it's still hard. And so I think that's what I love the most. And so when people are like, oh my God, went through all this time and all this effort, and then we Googled it and this exists. And people, like, their eyeballs get, like, so big and they're like, oh my God, we failed. And I think that it's really interesting to think about failure and the ways that people react and the way what they think is was failure. To me, I'm like, that's great. You learned something really important. And how much money did you spend? Oh, nothing. Yeah. Even better. Right. And don't you think it would be really important for other credit unions to know that there's something out there that they don't have to create on their own? And so being able to reframe, like, I don't even want to say, like, I hate to say it, failure, being able to reframe those into just like, this is actually just a redirection and it's really good data for us to know, is awesome. But actual, like, things and stuff, oddly enough, Ben, we didn't meet in I3. We met in 2017, Wisconsin Innovation Group, with that, which I'm just now remembering. So this is really funny. The Dreambox was very ahead of its time. So I say that because this was one of Ben's ideas. And I've actually, people have come up with, like, they're starting to come up with new versions of subscriptions and using data to send people stuff and do different things. And I'm like, wow, this is really funny. That was really, like, foreshadowing of the time. And so whenever anybody is, like, going through, like this data and we want to know our members better, I'm like, oh, you should take a look at this idea. So I've actually sent that to a few groups recently. Another one from that 2017 group year is Title Genie. That one is also very specific to Wisconsin. That one still comes up a lot too, because I don't think we've figured that out yet as a state. Some really interesting stuff has come out of the Cornerstone region related to subscription accounts. Same thing with the Iowa Innovation Group. They had a really great project in 2022 that was focused on providing, like, an account that really supported people in building wealth, which seemed really desirable for folks. So a lot of, like, really cool things that I think that are, honestly, they're cool and they're kind of ahead of their time. A lot of them are not ready to be implemented, but these are ideas that are like, could we take this a little bit further and what could that potentially look like? And I just think that that's pretty darn exciting. So yeah. I hope that answered your question.
That did definitely answer my question.
Sweet.
I'm really happy that you gave the examples that you gave. One, of course, because one of them was my team's project. But it's interesting, though, that Title Genie is the other one you mentioned, because when I tell people what WILD is or what I3 is, they usually, there's a question like, well, what are you creating, or what's the project look like, or whatever. And Dreambox and Title Genie are the two examples that I give, because I think there's, like, some really stark contrast in, like, the makeup of what those two things are. Dreambox being this, like, very big idea with, like, a ton of data and physical stuff being distributed, and, like, everything that would go into that thing actually being real. It would be absolutely ginormous. But cool, right? Yeah, cool. And maybe I can embarrass myself a little bit and we can share out the prototype video that we shared. I'm sure Sue would probably love to see that, or see it again if you'd seen it before, and hear 2017 Ben narrating this video. But
little baby 2017 Ben.
Baby 2017-year-old Ben. But then Title Genie, you know, really at its core is a form, right? Like a
piece of
paper to help make the used car title transfer process easier and better in a state where it's a little tricky, right? So, like, I think that's what I give those two examples, because I think, and you know this, Courtney, I think a lot of times in WILD and I3, like, a lot of people try to develop something super big and technical, like an app or something like Dreambox, which is, you know, great, you know, like, awesome ideas and stuff, but, you know, how possible are they? I don't know, you know. And that can be really intimidating, and people might feel like they don't have the skills or the knowledge or whatever to develop something like that, when you might learn something about yourself, like I did, like, oh, actually, ideas like that can come out of me. But also, like, it doesn't have to be ideas like that. It can be something as simple as how do we properly transfer a title from one car owner to the other? And
yes,
and I think that's the beauty of innovation too, is like sometimes innovation is so dang simple and sitting there looking at us in the face, just waiting for us to take something and do something with it. You know what I mean?
And we put this like weird pressure on ourselves to have it be like a financial product.
Yeah,
I'm like, it doesn't have to be a product. Like, and then, you know, there's so many other examples how like you can be innovative, create deep member loyalty where you're not even using a member product to do that, like through community engagement. And there's all kinds of examples of why that's important. But like to your point, Ben, like Title Genie was a PDF that you could embed into your core that sort of helped to streamline the title process, which sucks for everyone.
Yeah.
Like it's just, sometimes it's the simplest, dumbest things that are like, wait, why are they doing it this way? Like, why are we making this so much harder on ourselves? And I, you know, it's really funny. I'm just going to call out, might be like kind of controversial. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
controversial
please.
Opinions.
Be controversial.
Like you think about financial education as like financial wellness, like what as a whole, there are so many programs, there's so many resources, there's tools. Most organizations, well, I shouldn't say that. Some don't. Some organizations offer them, some don't offer them. You can Google a lot of things. There's all kinds of ways that you can learn financial wellness, but you know, there's still gaps in financial competency. There's still things that people don't know. Like I work in the financial services space and there's like, I can't say that I'm an expert. I can say there's certain things I'm comfortable with and certain things that I'm not comfortable with. And, you know, we want to develop all these apps and like all the, like, oh, this financial program here. And it's like, but they exist. So like, why aren't they working? Mm-hmm. Like, can't we measure that? Like, can't we figure out where there's gaps there? Anyway, so there's like, to your point, there's also so much out there. Like new and novel is exciting, but there's like, we're swimming in all of this stuff. And like, sometimes we don't know what to do with it all.
I am so glad you got controversial because as you were talking about, you know, that process of maybe some people end up going through the ideation process and decide to make something that exists. I think the most interesting thing about that could be having the discussion of, well, this exists. Why didn't we know it? Why aren't people using it? Why is that, you know, where, what is the gap there? And how do we innovate around that gap?
It's so true. So I'm going to plug Filene for a second. We every year, we're about to launch year three, we do an innovation survey. It's free for Filene members to participate, where we provide them with everything that they need to go to their members. So we're asking credit union members to measure how innovative they think their credit union is. And it's really powerful to be able to see those responses and the ways in which members say credit unions are or are not innovative. And like some of those things are not what you would necessarily even expect. Like, do you make me feel like I belong? Like, is that a product or a service? Maybe that could be approving a loan, that could be showing up in their community. Like what, like there's so many things you can uncover, but what we find when we go back into some of that data is members will say, you know, I wish the credit union did X, Y, Z. And the credit unions will respond with like, well, we do that. We do X, Y, Z. And it's like, oh, cool. Obviously they don't know because, you know, they're telling you that you don't do that. So to your point, Sue, like that happens all the time. Like we have cool things. We do awesome stuff, but we don't talk about it or we don't share it in a way that people know, or it's not easily accessible. I don't know. If we figured this out, we probably could turn everything into gold too.
Boy, I hope so. It's funny you say that because Ben and I are working on a focus group for a client. And that is exactly a question. It's a big part of the questions that we are going to pose to the people in the focus group, because part of our initial research was asking them, what can credit unions offer? And there was a big gap between what credit unions can offer and what these people knew credit unions could offer.
Yeah.
I can't get over this. So the initial survey went to all credit union members. The group was all credit union members, right? And one of the questions was, are you now or have you ever been a member of a credit union? And 4% of them said no. So that lit my brain up. Say, what is going on there?
Did they get a loan through Cuddle?
It remains to be seen.
Interesting.
Why? So those kinds of gaps of the information's there. So what are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
How do we connect you to those things? And the only way to find out is to ask them where they would get the information.
Yeah. And like really just see where they're getting the information currently, like where is it coming up now? And just really kind of like honoring that. And it's different for different people. And I don't know, like, I guess this is going to be like controversial statement number two. Sometimes it just really doesn't matter how much information you give someone. They don't have enough money. They don't have enough money. Like, you can't educate money into someone's bank account. That's just not how it works. You know, you can help them find jobs. You can help them find side hustle, whatever. But like, there's only so much people can do too at the end of the day with capacity. So I think it's like a human problem.
So true.
It went really dark.
That's okay.
Maybe, but very real.
Yeah.
So Courtney bringing the hot takes today. I like it.
Loving the controversy.
Don't give her a microphone.
No. My favorite thing is how you keep saying you're saying controversial statements and you're just saying things that make sense. So.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't preface it. I'll just start saying things and we'll see how they land.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
I'll gauge it by your facial reaction.
Okay. All right, Courtney. Well, shifting gears from talking about some big projects through cool programs like i3 and Wild and stuff to a big project that we're working on this year, which is writing a book. Maybe you've heard this, maybe not, but we're writing a book about purpose and marketing. And we're asking a bunch of our guests some questions to help give us inspiration, keep us fueled along the way. Yeah. So what would you say is your purpose for doing what you do? And you can share anything, how your purpose maybe changed or grown. From the heart, Courtney, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're going to get no matter what. So it's really interesting. I think like, go a couple different ways. One, like my purpose is to help people feel like they belong. I think everyone can relate to what that feels like for in any sort of like capacity. And I think especially as we think about like business, credit unions, like financial services, there's such an opportunity to include people, especially because if we want our credit unions to continue, the voices that are not at the table are the ones that like we should be listening to. So that is really like my purpose. And I get to do that through like even the innovation work, the cooperative trust work. I get to do that not every day, but pretty much a lot. Like that's what I try to enable. Yeah. I feel like there was something else I was gonna say, but you know, I remember. Okay. So this is really funny because when I crashed the GAC, people are like, it's going to change your life. And I'm like, haha, that's so silly. and it's wild because I totally ugly face cried. I moved from Southern California to Wisconsin, like absolutely without a doubt, life changing. People report that often. So I'm not just saying that, like people tell me that in the feedback. all that to say, you know, it's weird when people like tattoo stuff like on their bodies, like Harley Davidson, like Coca-Cola, I don't know, Apple, like so bizarre. We had two crashers get tattoos. I wish I could say it was our logo for the Cooperative Trust or Filene. It wasn't. But this is where I feel like if you think about like, I mean, like really thinking about this idea of serendipity and experience, and like there is research behind the science of serendipity and creating these moments where people are so moved that their life is changed, and like how you might do that. It is possible. Like people can actually do that stuff. Still in like 2024 time, this like, and we had two crashers get a tattoo like 3 days after crash the GAC. Basically what I'll say is this company in the expo hall approached a crasher, talked to them, made them excited, told them a little bit about what they did, said, hey, here, have this like little plushy toy and just enjoy, but like really made her feel like obviously special enough that she was like, hey, other crashers, look at this cool plushy toy that I got from this company. And what do you think they all did? They went down to that booth. They all picked up the plushy toy they have on my couch right here.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it's super cute. It became a little unspoken mascot of Crash the GAC, and two people tattooed.
So that's what they got tattooed?
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah. So, you know, like experience matters. The way you make people feel matters. Like all of that is not just like things of the past, things that we shouldn't forget about, like things that like, oh, I don't know, like whatever sort of like jaded feeling you might have toward creating an experience for people using your, like what makes your organization unique, like that's really special. So I would say lean into that. And I'm not a marketing expert, but dang.
Yeah, like, but you've got a big heart, and I love everything that you shared. One, because now I just have all the confirmation in the world that I need. We need plush toys to give out to people.
I know, so honestly.
That's on the list.
Should we get a plush asterisk? Like,
yeah.
Yes. Right.
Definitely you should.
Yeah.
The second one, and I can confirm, like seeing your longing for belonging, or your that being really important to you. I've seen that in action as part of the crasher selection process, which I was blessed to be a part of in the year that I mentor, because I mean, not only you, I don't mean to give you too much credit, Courtney. There was a great group of people in that room, but
I cannot do it alone.
You and many others, you know, looking at everyone that applied to be a part of that in a way where we were trying to bring in as much, you know, diversity is the word I want to say, but it's, you know, I mean, diversity in like the truest sense, not just black and white, male and female, things like that, like different positions, different credit unions, different geographic regions, like as much diversity as we could bring into that group, we did through this, you know, everlasting effort to create belonging for people, especially people that maybe don't typically get the opportunity. So the fact that that's a part of your job, I think, is just so amazing. And the fact that you get to do it more than once a year is really, really cool.
It's really funny. I get so tired. And then I get there and I'm still a little bit tired. Like I'm not as young as I once was. But man, it's so energizing. It's so energizing to be part of it. It's really, I am incredibly grateful. It's really special.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're a part of it too. I mean when I say it's not something that I can do by myself. It takes a lot of people who believe in it as well. So
happy to have played a teeny tiny role in it.
Yes.
Well, speaking of activating people who believe in things. We should get toward the wrap up here, but how can people learn more about filing? What other things would you like people to get connected to? Maybe the Crasher program, maybe some other things.
Yeah. So head to filene.org and create an account. If you are a member, you can just create one with your credit union email address. If you're not a member, just head there and check it out. See, just poke around, see what you have available to you. There are some reports that are open access. You can also peruse the cooperative trust from filene.org. So take a look at that. We do have a crash that we're currently recruiting for. It's Crash DCUC. So if you head to our website, that will be there as well. You know, and just check out other programs. I always like to give shout outs to other just groups that I've seen that's really engaged people. So like Y Cup is really awesome. So if you're looking to engage folks on an international level, I always say get involved with Y Cup, and you know, through that, Global Women's Leadership Network, super great. CU Pride is amazing. African American Credit Union Coalition is always great. They have great educational content as well. America's Credit Unions, especially with the merger, their content is also, I don't want to like speak for them, but like my understanding, their content is also expanding. So like, check out what you have access to now with them. And NAFQ had an incredible library on risk and compliance, if I'm not mistaken. So there's so many resources out there for all of you. Just sometimes it's overwhelming and like, where do you go? Like, how do you tap into it all? So just start somewhere. Filene.org.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And right, you're staying true to yourself, mentioning all those other folks that help Filene do what they do. You know, because just like identifying who the next group of crashers are going to be, that's work that you need support from. And Filene and credit unions and CUSOs, we get a ton of support from all those organizations that you mentioned too. So
they're all really great. The foundation, oh my gosh, I can't believe
it. Yeah, didn't even mention the foundation, right?
DE.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right, well, let's transition to our Something Awesome segment where we share recommendations for great content, cool experiences, just general awesomeness that we want to share with the world. I'll kick it off as I always do, and I am so happily sharing a link to an article from The Guardian that talks about the ratings for the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments, and the fact that the women's tournament outrated the men's tournament this year.
Yes.
Lots of buzz around teams like Iowa and UConn and folks like Caitlin Clark and many others that brought a ton of energy. It was really cool. I was watching, I think it was the Final Four matchup between I don't know, whoever Iowa was playing. And they showed the last matchup between Iowa and UConn, which was 2021. So the first tournament after COVID. So like, first off, you know, first tournament after COVID. So they had some circumstances going against them there, but like hardly anybody in the stands, you know, just like quiet and awkward atmosphere for a basketball game. And, you know, this was not that long ago. And now like sold out stadiums, 19 million people watching on TV, like the incredible growth and scale and like engagement from the country with women's college basketball, I think is just absolutely amazing. And I think it's like great for everyone. Obviously great for fans of women's sports. And honestly, I think that my perspective and like appreciation for this has changed, one, because of my experience with things like Filene and I3 and being exposed to topics like DEI and things in ways that I don't think I would have previously had the opportunity. And, you know, even the way that we try to do our work, just like a general awareness of these topics that I think I was maybe a little bit more on the conservative, male-dominated sort of perspective prior to some of those experiences. And the other thing that I think makes me appreciate it even more is the fact that I'm a girl dad. I got a 3-year-old daughter at home. And so thinking about like what her life experiences will be like, to know that like things like women's basketball, but so many other things, even outside of sports, you know, are finally getting like the attention that they deserve. Yeah. Just bring me like a ton of hope and like happiness for what her future might be like. And to know that, you know, the world's just being more open to new audiences and things, I think is just an absolutely amazing thing. So I took it way deeper than I wanted to there, but I think it's worth celebrating for sure. So super cool.
That's awesome.
So Courtney's up.
Yes. Courtney's next. If you've got something, Courtney.
No pressure. So I knew this was coming, and I am terrible at like favorites. I have been notoriously terrible at favorites my entire life. But what I will say is I am currently going through yoga teacher training. And so, Whoa. Yeah. And so a lot of like just outside learning, where it was once very much focused on like leadership and, you know, finance and business, which is all great, you know. Right now I'm really having to focus learning something very, very new. But what's really thrilling about it is like there's still pieces of like teaching a new skill, like to people like yoga, where I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. I could use this when I facilitate crashes or innovation groups. So I'm actually learning some really interesting like teaching techniques that I have never even thought of before. And so part of me is really excited to see how I can integrate some of the things that I'm learning there with some of the things in business. And I don't have like a link or a book or anything. But what I will say is if you can, like, go check out a community yoga class for free and just like check it out and see what it's like. And it's going to be awesome because it's whatever you need it to be.
How long have you been doing yoga?
Oh gosh.
Like a long time.
So it was really funny. I took my first class. It was for college credit. I did not enjoy the experience at all. I took my first class in like 2008. So a while, but like, it's been an off and on sort of thing. And, I got more into it last summer, and it's something I've always wanted to do, the yoga teacher training. Like, I don't know if I want to teach anything, although crashers beware.
Uh-oh.
Who knows? I say that like I'm teasing, but like, honestly, we could do sunrise yoga before a crash. For sure. I don't know.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah, because the crash days aren't long enough already.
I know. That's why we like bring in some like nice meditation, Some relaxation. I don't know. We'll see.
No, you're right. It probably would be good for sure. Because those days are long, and a bit of centering at the and, top like, of it just, all like, might
be good. Maybe just loosening up like the lower back might be nice. Yeah. From sitting there all day. Go. Yeah.
Love it.
Yes.
Okay, then over to me. My something awesome I'm going to share is a book that I haven't finished reading. I don't think I will suddenly change my opinion on it though. So I think it's going well. And it is called, I'm going to hold it up to prove I'm reading it and that it exists. I don't know why I did that, but that's okay. it's called, so you can see that there is a nice bookmark. Which is a sticky note. It's called All Marketers Tell Stories by Seth Godin. And actually I started reading it because, my friend who is working on starting his own business heard about it on a marketing podcast and asked me if I had read it. And now he and I are reading it at the same time so we can talk about it. But it is so far, I would recommend people read at least the first half. Because that's all the further I've gotten. But it really centers around something that I already believe. And so I like seeing someone smarter than me have the support for this idea that when you're marketing, you are not simply giving information, you are telling a story about what you're doing. And that's what impacts people, understanding the story and being able to communicate it. So very good. And I would suggest it, at least the first half of the book, for anyone who is small business, starting out in marketing, finishing in marketing, or anyone else.
That's a great share. I'm going to piggyback off of your recommendation because Seth Godin, he's the Purple Cow book guy, right? Does that sound familiar?
I don't know the answer to that. Okay. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure. We'll share the link to that too, because I'm pretty sure. And, you know, as well, Courtney, you may not know this, but Sue does. I struggle to consistently read books. I have this bookshelf. Every time that our team is talking about what book they're reading or something, I look over at this shelf and I see this row of books that I have not yet read, but for some reason I bought thinking that I'll get to actually read them. Seth Godin has this cool book. I think it's called The Purple Cow or something like that. But so it's rare that somebody can reference an author and I can say I've read one of their books because I suck at getting through books. So I have to just give myself a tiny bit of credit.
That okay.
I've read another
okay.
Thanks cool. for letting me fill my ego up a little bit there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, weird flex, but it's okay. Yeah. It's good.
I read books, guys.
Ben read a book once, everybody.
Oh, great.
Oh, Courtney, it has been wonderful, wonderful, wonderful having you here with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
That was like the fastest hour ever.
Yeah, I know. I kept looking at my watch going, that can't possibly be the right time. Yeah. So thank you, Courtney, for joining us. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. You can always catch up on our shows on your favorite podcast app, or you can find them on our blog at exclamationcuso.com/blog.
Thanks again, Courtney.
My pleasure.
Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome. We'll see you next time.
The Osmology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.